Welcome to the Personal Financial Planning Section podcast, delivering insights from experts on tax, retirement, estate, risk management, investment planning, and practice management, designed to help you best serve your clients and take your practice to the next level. I'm your PFP section host, Sarah Bradley. Be sure to visit us at aicpa.org/PFP and stay tuned at the end of the episode for information on how to access valuable resources. And now over to our guest.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm Jean-Luc Bourdel, and I'm here to talk to you about having better, more impactful, and possibly more transformative conversations with your clients. First, I'd like to tell you about Cor Blokdyke. Cor was a mentor when I started in public accounting some years ago. And at the age of 80, Cor decided to retire. Rather, I should say that at the age of 80, Cor's wife decided for him that he should retire. But what Cor did decide, though, was that he would turn over all of his tax clients over to me. And so for an entire tax season, Cor and I did all of his tax appointments. And when clients came to their appointment, Cor announced that it was his last year as their tax preparer and pointed to me as his successor. And when clients realized that they lost Cor as their preparer, when they realized they lost their annual conversation with Cor, the emotional outburst that I witnessed, I could not have imagined. Many clients teared up and several openly wept. One client described Cor as a second father to him, and another client described Cor as the longest male relationship in her life. And over the years, as I worked one-on-one with those clients, it was always very important to them to explain to me how transformative Cor's conversations had been and the impact he had had on their lives. One client said she wouldn't have the house she lives in if it wasn't for him. A client who retired early said then he simply did what Cor told him to do. So early on, I realized that conversations are the essence of client relationships. And of course, a few years into practice, we all recognize that. But we also know that we could be even more impactful. We don't formally learn client conversation. If we're lucky, we have a few good mentors, or we just learn by doing. But we do know, either by observing others or through our own experience, that at our best, we support clients towards their best life. And the key to that is evidence-based communication skills, which enhance transformative conversations. At the core, the essence of client relationship is conversation. It's what clients come to us for. They want a place where they can discuss their concerns, their goals, where they're at, where they want to go, and strategies to get there. In fact, when I first meet with new clients, if at the end of the first initial meeting they don't know whether they should work with me or not, I offer them two clarifying questions. The first question is, Mr. and Mrs. Client, after talking to me or after any conversation with anyone else you might be considering, ask yourself, has the conversation been clear? The conversation should be clear because if your questions don't get clear answers, your questions will keep repeating themselves in your mind and will rob you of peace of mind. Worse yet, your questions could repeat themselves at night and rob you of sleep. So it's very important to get clear answers to your questions. The second clarifying questions I offer is the conversation comfortable? And I tell clients the conversation should be comfortable because over the years, life will throw things your way. Some will be good, some not so good. And this should be a comfortable place to always come back to discuss whatever might be happening and evaluate the planning implications of it. So having offered those two clarifying questions, wouldn't it be nice to also offer clients the opportunity to answer yes to both questions? In other words, how do we provide conversations that are both clear and comfortable? Well, for conversations to be clear, it helps at the beginning, not just of the conversation, but of the relationship when we set the pattern and the tone, to establish rules of clarity. For example, to say, Mr. and Mrs. Klein, please interrupt me anytime I'm not being clear. And the first time a client will want to interrupt, they'll do it cautiously. And of course, if they interrupt, and we hope they do because we want to know if we're not being clear, we want to thank them. Thank you for interrupting. And every time a client interrupts, letting them know that it's exactly what we hope for them to do. Then throughout the conversation and taking cues from nonverbals like facial expressions, when we feel it might be needed, asking, am I being clear? I'm not sure I'm being clear here. Am I being clear? After we answer a question, it certainly helps to follow the answer with, did I answer your question? So those simple rules will certainly promote clarity. To help the conversation be comfortable, it helps to pay attention to the physical setting. Traditionally, a professional's office is like a monument erected to the glory of the professional. You walk in and you see the diplomas, the award, the family pictures, the vacation pictures, their big chair, our small chair. We go in because we lack expertise in their field. We go in feeling small and we're made to feel smaller, hence less comfortable. So over the last several years, a lot of attention has been paid to the physical environment and how to make clients more comfortable. Now, of course, the physical setting only matters to the extent that it helps clients and ourselves feel more comfortable. What truly matters is enhancing a sense of psychological safety. And psychological safety is not, of course, just feeling free from threats. It's just being free to think. When we're pressured, stressed, uncomfortable, we don't think as well. In fact, we sometimes think, we often say we can't hear ourselves think. So psychological safety is not only hearing ourselves think, but the ability to think out loud, being comfortable enough that we can think freely and communicate it freely. So how do we enhance psychological safety? Again, establishing rules of comfort. So saying, please interrupt me, not just when I'm not being clear, but also if I ask any question and you don't know the reason why I'm asking. When a question is private or perceived as invasive and we don't know why it's being asked, we tend to be guarded. But if we honor the reason why the question is being asked, of course, we want to provide a clear answer. Also, our professional rules require us to give our privacy policy. And that's the perfect opportunity at the beginning to remind clients that the conversation is private. It'll certainly help establish comfort. Then much has been said about listening skills and much could be said about it. But in a nutshell, we should just listen to listen, not to judge, because the human brain can detect in a fraction of a second when we're being judged. And of course, people become guarded and less comfortable. We should listen to connect, not listen to respond. So we should just be fully available, fully present, listen with the whole mind. Of course, listen with our ears, but also listen with our eyes, with our heart, and with our guts. To establish comfort, it also helps to show vulnerability. Clients certainly do feel some vulnerability when they come to a professional's office because it's not that their area of expertise. And sometimes professionals put such an emphasis on establishing ethos and credibility that they can overshoot and forget to appear simply human and someone that's easy to connect with. So it helps to show vulnerability, and just asking, am I being clear? Am I making sense? Shows that we don't assume that we're so perfect. Sharing feedback. When clients come to us and share private information, it certainly feels like financial undressing to them. And when we're revealing ourselves to someone else, of course, we want to know what they're thinking. We're very... We might be concerned about what that other person is thinking. So just letting clients into our heads, into our thoughts, and simply let them know, Mr. and Mrs. Clients, I've heard you say this, this, and that. And when you said that, here's what I was thinking. Now, it does several things. It lets them know we were listening. It lets them know we got it. And it also makes them comfortable, let them know what we were thinking. Asking for permission is also very helpful. It's subtle, but makes a big difference. May I ask you about your health? May I ask you about your children? And then revealing your motives creates comfort as well. As I said earlier, when we don't know where a question comes from, it can seem invasive. It could we can resist the question. But if we understand the motives, then the question becomes a lot more palatable and easy to answer. So why does providing comfortable conversations matter? Well, the answer is provided by neuroscience. Over the last several years, we have learned a lot about the power of positive emotions, and one emotion in particular stands out, and that is our sense of safety. Over thousands of years, in fact, over millions of years, our biology evolved to be finely attuned to our sense of safety, and to that we owe our survival, our very being here today. On one end of the spectrum, when we experience fear, when we're threatened, our entire biology, our brain, our nervous system shifts and becomes protective. We're familiar with the fight, flight, or freeze reaction. On the other end of the spectrum, though, when someone is calm, when they're peaceful, confident, when their sense of safety is at its maximum, the brain gets flooded with happy neurochemicals like dopamine or serotonin. The blood flow to the brain increases. We become smarter. In fact, our IQ increases. Our problem solving, learning, social engagement, and sense of trust increase. Our resiliency, our ability to take action, our sense of identity and goal orientation increase. Certainly, those are all things we would want in a financial planning conversation. So that's why having clear and particularly comfortable conversation is so important. But conversations should not only be clear and comfortable, they should also be valuable, because we can have clear and comfortable conversations socially and just chit-chat. Our conversation should also deliver value. So we should ask ourselves, what is the value we provide? And the answer is easy to find when we look at the 30 elements of value identified by Bain and Company. Over their decades in consultancy practice, they've identified 30 elements of value commonly offered by companies to their clients or customers. And when we look at that classification of value, we realize that we provide a vast amount of value. But it's divided into two arenas. We provide a lot of technical value, and that is all the things we have learned to provide through our education and our credentialing exams. That's the technical scientific elements of what we do. But we also know that there's a lot of non-technical value we provide. We help clients reduce their anxiety. We provide some therapeutic value. We provide motivation, self-actualization. We guide clients towards their own goals, legacy, help them fulfill their desire to change the world, their community, family. And when we separate those elements of value along the lines of technical and non-technical, and what I would call quantitative and qualitative, we recognize two major types of conversations provided in practice. On the technical side, on the science side of practice, that's the arena of our expertise. Clients come in with questions, we provide analysis, we provide answers. We've been very well trained to do that. On the qualitative side, clients have their own expertise. In fact, clients are the world's foremost experts on their own lives. We only have questions. They have all the answers. Mr. and Mrs. Clients, what is most important to you? Mr. and Mrs. Clients, what is meaningful to you? What are your goals? Because we only have questions, inherently, those are coaching conversations. So once we recognize that there are two major types of conversations in practice, we could ask ourselves, well, what does it take to add value to an advisory conversation? at the core, an advisory conversation is a teaching conversation. And as such, it helps to use analogies, sketches, and anecdotes. Those are all great tools to teach. Because what we do in an advisory conversation is we generally delineate the possibilities. Here's what is possible to accomplish. Sometimes it's here's what is legal to do. And within the parameters of what is possible or allowable, we can look at possibilities, then evaluate the pros and cons, the plus and minuses of the various possibilities. And having done that, generally clients could pick their own solutions. When they do, they own the solution, and they gain momentum towards the implementation. So anytime we can avoid giving the conclusion, the client gets empowered to implement the solution they choose. On the coaching side, what does it take to make a coaching conversation valuable? A coaching conversation is a blend of deep listening and thought-provoking questions. Now, that's in a nutshell. We could spend hours, maybe weeks, on coaching alone. But at a high level, it's just guiding a thought-provoking conversation. But just listening alone is extremely powerful. When someone listens to us, it forces us to organize our thoughts, our emotions, all that messiness going on between our ears, and formulate it in grammatically correct sentences, then we have to communicate logically. When someone listens to us, we have to organize our thoughts to communicate them and explain them. Very often when we are in the process of explaining a particular problem we often find our own solutions. How many times have we experienced that with our own clients? Just letting them explain the problem leads them to their aha moments. And so, anytime we interrupt, we mess up the process. We should encourage clients to talk, either by asking them, please tell me more, or sometimes just grunting. Mm-hmm. Let them know, I'm listening and I don't want to interrupt. Please go on. So, with this framework in mind, we can attain mastery in the art of practice by adding personal style and creativeness. Because mastering the art of practice is different from mastering its science. On the science, technical side of practice, a little knowledge is dangerous. There's a minimum standard. We need to reach competency. We cannot do a half-baked tax return. We cannot do a half-baked financial plan. There's a rigid criteria. But on the art side of practice, there's room for freedom of expression. On the art side of practice, a little knowledge is not dangerous. It's actually very transformative. So, as there is a growing evidence-based set of tools related to coaching conversations and delivering the non-technical value of practice through conversation, keep in mind to take everything you can that serves your authentic voice, but leave the rest. A lot of advice is framed in terms of do this, say this, don't do that, don't say that. Take what you like, leave the rest. The art of science has a lot to do with personal style, and that style should obviously be authentic. Within the framework provided for the art of practice, there is a lot of room for freedom of expression. Don't think of it as theater, where you memorize line and learn some questions, then you deliver as if you were on stage. Think of it as improv, where your focus is on just listening, and then you respond to what you've just heard. With this in mind, ask yourself, what tools would you like to add to your conversation toolbox? We haven't formally learned conversation, although it's an essential skill. But by becoming aware of effective tools for better client conversations, we can apply them with personal artistry. Like my mentor, Cor Blockdyke, at some point, someone will hear our auditive legacy. Someone will hear all the stories our clients want to tell about what it was like to work with us. What would you like your clients to say about your conversations? And with that in mind, what elements of value do you need to provide to accomplish this? And what are you willing to add to your conversations to deliver more of that value. On behalf of the PFP section, this has been Jean-Luc Bourdon, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I highly encourage you to visit the PFP section website to find other resources that will help you have better conversations with your clients. Stay tuned for Sarah Bradley, who will tell you how to find these valuable resources. Thank you for listening.
And thank you for sharing with our community of listeners. Want more information, resources, tools, and guidance on technical and practice management topics? Visit aicpa.org/PFP and check out the show notes for this episode as well. So if you're not already a member, think about joining the PFP section, which is designed to save you time, help you best serve your clients, and take your financial planning practice to the next level. You'll gain access to a robust selection of high-quality technical and practice management resources like guides, 24/7 access to an online learning library, client communication and education tools, up to 8 hours of free CPE, and more. Don't forget to leave us a review so we can continue bringing valuable and relevant content. And subscribe to our podcast channel so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to next time.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.